But JJ, if there are masters who can see, why weren't they naming it?
What?
Why weren't they giving it a name?
Well, because general humanity has to accept a belief in something higher. The highest general humanity accepts is that there's a kingdom of heaven beyond the physical. So after you die, you go to heaven and hell type of thing. And so heaven, what they call heaven, is the highest thing they can see that's above them. And they, most of humanity think that above us is heaven and that's it. Once you get to heaven, there's nothing else.
It's just most heaven. Of them, it's called Devachan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the esoteric name of heaven is Devachan. So yeah, because humanity calls this the heaven, the kingdom of God. They got names for it, but they don't have any name for anything above heaven, because they think heaven is it.
Is the highest.
But there's two planes on the physical that's above heaven. That's the sixth, which is the Nirmanakayas, and then the seventh, which is Shambhala. But there are six planes above this cosmic physical plane. In the creation process of which we are composed, we are on the lowest, which is called the seventh plane down in the cosmic physical, the material physical plane. And of this, the human body is an illusion. The real body is the etheric. That's the body which you can see when you put your thumbs together. That's your real physical body, according to the Tibetan. The physical body which we see with our regular eyes is an illusion. And it's DK calls this the dense physical. Because once you die and the etheric body begins to leave, then there's nothing there to hold your body together and your body disintegrates and goes back to dust. Okay, but as long as your real body is there, it holds it together and holds the physical form. And as long as your etheric body is in, united with your dense physical, then you will keep your form and your life. When it leaves, then you die and your physical body falls apart. And so that's the dense physical. And above this, there are seven planes of existence on the physical, which is the solid, liquid, gas, and then we have four ethers. And the Shambhala is in the second ether. And then above this, we have the astral plane, and there's seven planes on the astral plane. And you have astral matter within you, and this creates your feeling nature. So your feeling nature exhibits aspects of the various planes in the astral. From the first plane, the lowest planes, you'd have the negative emotions like hate and anger and fear and things like this. And then the highest parts of the astral feeling, you have love and peace and joy to a degree. Okay, and then the next plane up is the mind. And the lowest three planes of the mind make up the thinking portion of humanity as they exist now. And the challenge is to transfer your attention from the lower mind to the higher. But almost all people are pretty much completely focused on the lower mind. Now, when people that teach meditation tell us to go mindless, they don't differentiate from the two minds. To go mindless is to do it right. You have to discount and ignore the lower mind and switch to the higher mind. You don't go mindless. You go mindless on the lower mind, but the higher mind never fades away. That's part of your eternal existence, is your higher mind. And then the next plane up is the intuitive plane, often called the Buddhic plane. And it's a little bit like the Nirmanakayas of the planes, in the fact that it goes between the higher mind and the higher planes. And then the next plane up is the Atmic, and this is the plane where divine ideas exist. These are called the formless planes, but they're the foundation of everything that produces form. So in the Atmic plane, we have eternal ideas. Every idea that can be conceived of is there. And when we access the Buddhic plane, which is the plane of intuition, it's like the messenger between the higher and the lower. So in contemplation, you access the divine ideas through the Buddhic plane, and this energy goes up to the plane where all of the eternal ideas are. Pick something because of your focus and brings it down, so you say, aha, it produces those aha moments. Who in here has had an aha moment? I bet Emmanuel has had one. Have you had an aha moment?
I've had a few.
Okay. And when you had that, were you thinking about something really heavy duty?
No. And the weird part is a lot of them come like when I'm just taking a shower. I'm just kind of in a very relaxing mood.
Well, that's a good point. That's called what we call the vacuum principle. But it comes after you've done a lot of thought about something, then quit thinking about it, it produces the vacuum.
Yeah.
And then you'll be riding down the car, taking a shower, riding down the road or taking a shower, and bong, the answer comes. You know, that's a good point. Who else has had an aha moment? Ed?
Well, often when I contemplate the meaning of the various questions that come up, and I ask, what's the meaning? What do I really know about this? And all of a sudden I begin to know something I didn't know.
Yeah.
And often I hear tones in my ear, either the left ear or the right ear.
Okay. Anybody else have an aha moment? Suzy Q?
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
Especially if I've been worrying over something or stressing over something. And then I'll decide I'm just going to go ahead and let it go. And then a few days later, it's like a light bulb. You know, that's it. And it'll be really clear.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you stress over stuff.
Okay, and then we have the Atmic, and above that, the monadic. And this is where the consciousness of the higher self of your higher self resides. Your higher self resides in the second plane of the mental plane, pretty much. That's where your higher self is. But your monad, which is the higher self to the higher self, resides in the plane of the monad. Yeah.
You mean second plane of the mental plane? Is that lower mind?
Higher mind.
Higher mind.
Yeah, the lower three planes is the lower mind.
That's, I forgot the plane.
That's what we're using right now to think with.
Okay. Yeah, it goes from seven to one,
not one to seven.
Well, there's a chart in the books that shows these things graphically.
Is the monadic outside of time and space?
Yeah, basically it would exist in what they call the eternal now, where the past, present, future are all seen as one cooperating together. Yeah.
I have a question.
Countdown.
Would
7.
Would an apparition or a ghost, would that be like an etheric figure?
Would a ghost?
Yeah.
An apparition.
And I'll give you an example, and I'll make it short. When I was about 7 years old, I'm pretty sure that I witnessed my grandfather talking to my grandmother, which was sleeping in the bed in between my mom and my grandmother was on that side of me, and me, and he was standing right beside me, and I'm pretty sure I was awake. I don't think I dreamt it, but I looked up and I could see him, and I described him to my mom and my grandmother, and the next morning of what he was wearing and what he looked like, and they both agreed that he had come.
Okay, well, there's two ways to see the people in the afterlife. Number one, if it's really important for you to get a message from a loved one, they can make an appearance either in a dream or they can even project something, an image down by the power of their thought is possible. But where we have like a haunted ghost haunting a place, they're made of lower etheric matter.
See, and now, he wasn't scary or...
No, he was probably projecting, yeah, from a higher level.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but where we have hauntings, it happens where people are very materialistic and they're very much focused on their life and they have a high concentration on this life being of supreme importance, and that's all there is, and they don't want to leave it behind.
Kind of earthbound.
Yeah. So they will leave when they die. Their astral or their etheric body doesn't disintegrate. Most of us, our etheric body will disintegrate within about 3 days after we die. So you can hang around for your funeral in many cases. But the ones that are really earthbound, even after their soul separates from their etheric body will remain behind, and it's like a computer program. You notice these ghosts, they encounter never say anything intelligent. You know, they just knock things over and stuff like that. That's because they're like a computer program left over that's operating in the etheric body. And they can hang around for a long time, but it's not the real person. It's just it's like an AI of the real person, so to speak.
So, JJ.
Yeah.
A Ren's son died when we were married, and he came stomping around our house after he died all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, so what would you call that?
Well, that was probably his etheric body. Yeah, he's probably really somewhere else. He's probably really back in the world of souls.
I told him to stop it. Mm. I just said, I'm really impressed. You've learned how to make sound on this side of the veil, but stop it.
He is a poltergeist.
Yeah, what we call the poltergeist are, we can call it an AI of the real person. Yeah. So it's just like AI. If you talk to AI, if AI is trying to copy somebody, once you talk to it a while, you can kind of figure out this must be AI, you know. And the same thing with a poltergeist. You deal with it for a while. This doesn't have all the ingredients of this person that I know.
They don't have the mind. You know, some call it the astral body of a person.
Yeah.
Adam has a question.